All right, good morning, everyone. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. And we're going to look at verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. You know, probably nobody could tell funnier stories about motherhood than the woman who in times past, she's passed away now, but her name was Irma Bombeck. She wrote in a lot of newspapers, and she wrote a story that was on the more serious side, but it still is funny. Dan, this must have a bad battery in it. It's on. So she wrote a story that's on the more serious side, but it still has some humor to it, and it's called A Mother's Love. And it starts off this way. It starts off, "You don't love me. You don't love me." She said, "How many times have your kids laid that one on you? And how many times have you as a parent resisted the urge to tell them how much? Someday when my children are old enough to understand the logic that motivates a mother, I will tell them this." We'll let him adjust that back there. "Someday when my children are old enough to understand the logic that motivates a mother, I will tell them, I loved you enough to ask you about where you were going, with whom, and what time you would get home. I loved you enough to insist that you buy a bike that we could have afforded to buy for you with your own money. I loved you enough to make you return a Milky Way with a bite out of it to the drugstore and confess, I stole this. I loved you enough to stand over you for 2 hours while you cleaned your room, a job that would have taken me 15 minutes. I loved you enough to let you see anger, disappointment, disgust, and tears in my eyes. I loved you enough to admit I was wrong and ask for your forgiveness. I loved you enough to let you stumble, fall, and hurt." And then she closes the story. "But most of all, I loved you enough to say no when you hated me for it. That was the hardest part of all." That's a great story, isn't it? She just had a knack for writing these tremendous and humorous stories. Well, when you turn to Proverbs 31, the king, according to Proverbs, this wasn't Solomon, this was King Lemuel who wrote this, King Lemuel. We don't know anything about him other than he was a king. And anyway, you might have thought, when you read these 22 verses, that King Lemuel lost his mind, as it were. Because just a few minutes ago, we watched that video of Proverbs 31, right? And it's got one thing after another, after another, after another. You know, after you get to about the sixth or seventh one, you know, you start thinking, wow, is this woman Wonder Woman or what? Holy moly, there is no way I could do what this woman does day in and day out. She's like in 22 places at once. Well, believe it or not, in a recent issue of Grace and Focus magazine, Marcia Hornock, who is a Bible teacher and a writer, she and her husband are retired out of the ministry. She was a pastor's wife. She wrote about this passage, and she said when she was in seminary with her husband years and years ago at Dallas Seminary, she said one of the board members' wives would always do a talk on Proverbs 31. And she taught us as young ladies, taught us that you can't read Proverbs 31 with the wrong set of eyeglasses on, because if you do, you'll just get all tied up in knots. She said if you take it to be a day-by-day list of the things that a good lady and a good woman, a virtuous woman, if you think of it as a day-in and day-out list of the things you're supposed to be doing, she says you'll just about crash and burn because it's so many things on the list. This older lady that was teaching a younger lady said there's a better way to look at it and a more biblical way to look at Proverbs 31. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the issue of seeing Proverbs 31 from the right perspective. Now, let me say this before I get started. In recent weeks, you know, I've been preaching on Revelation for quite a few weeks now, and a couple of these weeks I've gone really, really long with my message, okay? And man, you guys have been patient and you've been wonderful, and I really appreciate you. So today on Mother's Day, I'll make a deal with you. How about if I cut my message short? I don't go into every single nuance of every single verse. I'm just going to kind of do an overview and hopefully get you out of the door a lot sooner today, probably about 3 or 4 seconds sooner. No, I'm just kidding. I always promise big, and I end up on, yeah. Anyway, well, you electrocute me with dead batteries after the service, but anyway. All right, this is what this woman was talking about. Is the problem here in 31 of Proverbs, daily chores a woman should be doing, the daily life of how a wonderful, virtuous woman looks, or is it really an overview of a woman's entire life? And today we're going to take the latter, okay? And here's what it's going to look like. After we do the introduction to the verses, we're going to look at the early years, the middle years, and the later years. And you know what, ladies? I think it'll make so much more sense to you. And gentlemen, as you listen, I know we've been putting a lot of emphasis on the moms today and ladies, but here's what I want you to remember. There's going to be things that are said that are just very appropriate because it's going to be more of an overview. We're not going to get into the nuances that you can take away from this as well. It'll be strong for you and encouraging to you with you and your families and raising up children and those of us who are older, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You know, it's amazing. Bob and Dolores were showing me pictures of little Amy. I think of little Amy because she went to camp with us year after year. But now she's a grown woman and she has a child of her own, and it's Bob and Dolores' great-granddaughter. And it's just amazing to see how God, and it was so good to see Amy with the big smile on her face. I just remember her from years gone by when we would go to camp. It's a blessing. So let's look at this, everybody. Let's start with the introduction, okay? And again, this is going to be more devotional, and we'll try to keep it a lot shorter. Who can find a virtuous wife? The old King James said, who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. Now, again, you start off there, and you think, if you think that all these verses are qualities you have to have from the time you get married until the time that you pass away and go on to be with the Lord, man, it's going to overload you. But if you see it, like I said earlier, as stages in life, it's going to be a lot more wonderful. The heart, verse 11, of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. What that's talking about, that gain there is what was called in those days spoil. When people would go into war, and they would rout the enemy, and of course, after they defeated the enemies, they would go into their homes and into the governmental buildings, and they would take all the gold and silver and bring it back to their own country. And what this is saying is, the virtuous woman's husband has no need of that kind of income. Because guess what? She's helping her husband, either by encouraging him in what he's doing or actually working along with him, having a job and working and doing the work that she's doing. And he trusts her. He's not jealous. He's not losing his marbles, you know, because she's out in the workaday world and he's all worried that, you know, some other man's going to steal her away. He, you know what? He can trust her because she is the virtuous woman. She's the wonderful wife that she is. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And you'll notice I underline that. Why? Because that's tipping us off. All the days of her life. We're reading Proverbs 31 as her entire life, not like a microcosm of one day. Wow, she's over here doing this, and she's over there doing that. It's Wonder Woman. No, it's not. It's a regular woman that has stages of life and works in her own special way in each of them. All right, let's start with the early years. The early years. We're not going to read the verses. We saw them there earlier. I'm just going to talk about them, and then we'll read one or two verses, all right? So this section, verses 13 through 17, revolves around an organized home, and the priority of family. It's the early years. Have an organized house and prioritize your family. If there's ever a time when their family needs priority, it's when those children are in their youngest years. Because listen, it's too late, folks. It's too late. Not anymore. It's too late when they're 8. No, it used to be you could say it's too late when they're teenagers. Now it's too late. If you try to start inculcating your children and teaching them, it's too late if you wait till they're 8 years old or 7 years old, probably. You've got to start out of the blocks. Yesterday I had my grandson in my arms and we took the dog out for a walk and he got tired on the way back, so he wanted me to carry him. So I'm holding the dog leash and I'm carrying him and we're just having a great time. And then when we got back, the sprinkler was running in the front yard, and I said, you see those trees there, Ethan? I said, you know who made those trees? God made those trees. He isn't quite 2 yet. He's almost 2. But I pointed to him, and I said, God made those trees. Jesus made those. And I said, you see that water? That water is going in the grass, and it's keeping the grass. And I said, you drink Wawa, it keeps you strong. And I said, that water goes and the ground drinks the water. But I wanted to start him, you know what, I'm not waiting until he's 10 years old and saying, hey, Ethan, did you know that I love Jesus? Did you know that? I want him, while he's still learning to formulate words, I want him to know about our God. So I'm starting early, and Kelly and Nicole and Brian and everyone, Lauren and Jared, all of us, we're all doing all we can to point them in the right direction. Those are the early years. She's a hard worker. She's busy clothing her family. She's busy feeding them. She's busy working out in the garden, this section says. She's a hard worker. She not only works in the house itself, but she works hard nurturing those under her. In this verse 17, like I said, we're just going to pick out one or two verses for each section. She girds herself. The Hebrew there says she girds her loins, her waist, or if you want to get a little bit more, with a little more explanation there, it's talking about the childbearing area. Because she's going to be having children. She girds her loins with strength, her waist, and strengthens her arms. See, these are the early years, okay? Now, normally you don't see, like, you know, 85-year-old women bodybuilders, you know? You know, it's like my mom was talking to my sister. My mom's 91. She's turned 91 in January. And sometimes her mind gets away from her, and she told my sister, she said, hey, Elaine, she says, when you go back to Indiana, my sister never goes back to Indiana, she says, when you go back to Indiana, in Whiting, in the Bank of Whiting, there's this fella there, and I want you to tell him I said hi. And my sister said, Mom, do you know any 91-year-old bank tellers? I didn't think so. But she remembers these guys that she dated. She can't remember my dad, who was with her, you know, for all her life, but she can remember these flames she had in high school. And she's like, hey, would you tell that bank teller that I said? So we always crack up about that, you know. My sister and I get a big kick out of that. But all right, so those are the early years. And what I want to just say here is to the ladies, especially, and to the dads as well, use the early years. Be strong in the Lord and in the power, not only physically strong, your arms and so on and so forth, but be spiritually strong. And boy, start them. You know, like with Nicole and Lauren, listen, we didn't let them watch typical television shows. You know, one time I was out visiting a family near First Street and Miller Road, and I went into the house and I didn't see the kids. And the mom said, oh, they're back there in the bedroom. And I went in the bedroom and the boy was sitting there and he was on his stomach laying on the floor and he had a little black and white television about that big. And he was just sitting there like this. And I was watching the TV show he watched and I'm like, hey, come over here. Don't watch that. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, the kid's just a little kid. He's like 7 or 8 years old and the mom's not even paying attention to what he's watching in the bedroom. Can't do that. Can't do that. I mean, there's enough temptation and evil just in the world around us that they see. We used to just pump Nicole and Lauren's brains back in the good old days of VHS tapes. You know, I've still got all of them. And I'm going to eventually get them put. I've put many of them on DVDs. Myself, I've got a little thing that you could do that with. That thing went belly up. I burnt it to a crisp. I still have more of those VHS tapes to put on DVDs. But But we used to just have them watch those Bible stories and the McGee and Me and the Focus on Family and all those good things for kids. And, you know, I see Loretta down here smiling because I'm like, do that with our kids in Mother's Day out, you know. But that's so important. Okay, so that's the early years. Manage the home, nurture the children. Do in the home, moms and dads, live the life that you want your kids to live when they become 18. Because you're the strongest argument for them. What you do and what you say and how you react and all those things, the way you do it, that's the way they're going to do life. Okay? And so you're their example. You're their example. Okay, that's the early years. Now, what about when you get into middle age and your kids are like teenagers and you're a little bit older? Well, that's verses 18 through 22. And notice, she's not just concerned with her family right now. She can actually branch out a little bit more. The focus isn't so monolithic. Now it gets more broad. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And of course, obviously, we all be doing that all the time. But nonetheless, maybe this is talking about a special ministry that she had. Maybe she started a soup kitchen in her city or something like that. Why? Because she didn't have to focus as much time on the children as she did when they were younger. Okay? Children are growing up, and she can expand her care. So as the kids get older, it opens up opportunities for you to do more than when they were just little. And so that's what we see in these middle years. Think about this. If she opened a soup kitchen when her kids were 1, 3, and 5, that might be a little bit, that might be, you know, because she'd have to be over here and over, you know, it'd be, so you get where I'm coming from there. Okay, so that's the middle years. And you could read 18 through 22 on your own and look at some of the other things that were going on there. And then finally, we get here to the later years, verses 23 through 27. It says their strength and honor, or strength and dignity, are her clothing. In other words, she's wearing these now like a cloak. She's wearing them like a beautiful gown. Why? Because now she's mature. Now she's got wisdom of the years. You know, you have a lot more to offer to other people, a lot more wisdom when you're in your later years than when you're in your earlier or middle years. Now, listen, I got out of college when I was 22 and came right down to Dallas and started working in a church. And I taught the Bible every day to 5th graders through 12th graders, 5 days a week. I taught a two-hour class to adults on Tuesday nights, and then I taught a one-hour class on Sunday nights before the Sunday night service at 6 o'clock, which was the, what did they call that? No, Jim, what did they call that at 6 o'clock? The training union? Yeah, whatever, training union. But I did that. I had 139 people when I was like 25 coming to hear me teach on the book of Revelation. So I had some wisdom to dispense to other people. But guess what? Since that time, let's go ahead 30 years now. And now I've got more I can share because you've been through the ups and downs of life and you've been through the tough situations and so on and so forth. Well, this is how it is here. You know, in verse 26, let me put that scripture up there. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. That takes some strong Christianity, doesn't it? You know what I mean? To have wisdom to dispense to others and then to speak to others primarily. It doesn't mean you're going to do it all the time, because guess what? Did anybody ever tell you that you're human? That we all are humans, and like, we don't always have kindness on our tongue. Sometimes we get exasperated. Sometimes, you know, we just breathe something out of frustration or whatever. But as you get older, this is more the norm than it is the exception. Now this is what she's known for. Okay, and men as well can be known for this. It's interesting that in Titus 2:3, when it talks about older women, younger women, older men, younger men in the church, it says about the older women, they are to be teachers of good things. Interesting. The older women, that they teach the younger women, that they be teachers of good things. All right? So those are the three stages. Now that's more doable. Oh, this isn't telling me as a woman. This isn't telling me as a mother. This isn't telling me as a Christian that I've got to do what all 22 verses say every day. It's not a checklist. Okay, I did the weaving and I did the sewing and I did the cooking and I was out in the yard and oh, and then I bought a field and then I did the, no, those are stages. And that makes it much more beautiful and much more powerful. And it just shows us how great this would be. And ladies, by the way, as you get older, there may become a day, listen to me, there may come a day when even your ability to teach the younger women goes by the wayside. Why? Because you can just get, like, for instance, my mom is so frail now at 91, she couldn't do, like there was a time that at church she was in the, they had a funeral choir that they always had at funerals, and I wanted to call them the deadbeats. But anyway, but nonetheless, she was in this choir, and she did that. And then, even after she started to have problems with Alzheimer's, man, she was like the go-to taxi driver in my hometown. And so, like these ladies that were in her 90s, when my mom was in her 80s, they said, "Hello, Angie, can you come and get me? I need to go to the doctor." Sure, you know, my mom's taking them and running red lights. You know, my mom, she's totally oblivious, you know. They're like, over in the passenger seat, you know. She's running red lights. And you know what? Seriously, this is serious. We knew when to pull the plug on my mom, not on the machine, but we knew when to get her up into a nursing home. When my four-year-old great niece, I think that's right. Yes, it was her great granddaughter. She said to her dad, to my nephew, she said, "Daddy, how come when you drive, people don't beep their horns at you like they do at grandma?" Okay. That was when we stepped in. By the way, Mom, if you can sense this in your spirit, I'm sorry. Okay, so let's do the conclusion, everybody. There may come a time, ladies, when you get so frail you're no longer even able to do anything like that in your later years, and all you can do is pray. And that's a great, great ministry in and of itself. If that's all you did and you went into eternity praying for the pastor, for your fellow Christians at church, for missionaries, what a way to go home to be with the Lord. All right, let's wrap it up. Charm is deceitful. Oh, yes. Boy, there's a lot of gorgeous women in the world. Their heads are as empty as a cup in the middle of the desert, man. All right? Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. It passes away. It depreciates. But a woman who fears the Lord, notice the contrast. Charm, beauty, but a woman who fears, but over here, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. By the way, I really think, notice it says she shall be praised. And of course it says her husband praises her, her children rise up and praise her. But guess what? There's an unmentioned praise there too. And whose is that? That's the Lord Jesus's, right? Yeah, well done, good and faithful servant. So just keep it up, ladies. The woman of virtue has worked all her life for others. And now she's rewarded. Her children rise up, call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. This is the husband. "Honey, many daughters have done well." By the way, that word "well" right there is the word in Proverbs 3:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous wife? "Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. You surpass them all." That's what the husband is saying to this woman. And the children are also rising up. So not only that, her good works are praised in public. Look at this, verse 31. "Give her of the fruit." The fruit would be the rewards of her work, of her hands. So her life, reward this woman. She deserves it. "Let her own works praise her in the gates." You all remember what gates were in Bible times? They had walls around cities. And the gates were where they were kind of like the government, where the government met. that leaders of the city would meet there and conduct business. And it says, let her own works praise her in the gates. And so what it's saying is that there's some public praise going on here. Maybe the elders are saying, hey, we need to give that lady a plaque. Boy, she's really done so much for our city. So she gets praise. So let's end with this, everyone. How do we define virtue? Just two more minutes and we'll pray. How do we define virtue? Is it the sewing and the organizing of the house and the clothing the kids and keeping them clothed well when it gets cold outside and doing all the weaving and the crocheting and all those things Proverbs 31 talks about, the food and buying the field and caring for the harvest and all that? Is that all virtuous? Of course it's virtuous. But in reality, virtue is using your talents to bless others. What if you could care less about a field? What if you could care less about crocheting and knitting and that kind of, okay? That may not be up your alley. What I'm saying is virtue is not just those things are virtuous, but that's one lady. That's an example. And what I think we really did in virtue, like this lady, used the gifts God had given her to be a blessing. Her husband, her children. Her husband praises her. Her children praises her. The city leaders praise her. Wow, she's helping a lot of people. And so that's another way we can take the pressure off you ladies. We don't have to put the bar so high that it's unreachable. We can say, hey, listen, all of you can take the giftedness that God gave you and day out and day in and day out, use that to be a blessing to other people, all right? Find out what you're good at and bless others by doing it. Jesus said, the greatest of all is what, everyone? The servant. Well, yeah, love is the greatest. That's right. The greatest of all is the servant, but love is right there with that. A loving, caring person just looking for every way they can be a blessing and to help. You know what, everybody? You do that in life, and you won't ever, ever regret it when you see Jesus. You know, you don't have to make the Christian life super complicated. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said the whole Old Testament could be summed up by those two thoughts. Wow. All right, everyone. If you do these things, if you use your talents to bless others, you'll prove to be a person of virtue whose value is far above rubies. Far above earthly goods. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray to you for all of our ladies here today, Lord. You know what, Lord, some of them, they started off on a bad foot because maybe the mom was absent from the home. Or maybe she was there, but she did not treat them with kindness and with love and compassion. Lord, we just ask that you would put your hand on all of our moms, all of our ladies, young, middle-aged, and older, Lord. And we pray that you would give them your grace in all the days ahead. And of course, the same for all of the dads here, Lord. The same for every man that's trying to be an example to his kids. Lord, we can't do it without you, but we're thankful that we have your word that guides us every step of the way. Bless your people today, Lord. May it just be a wonderful day for everyone who's come here first to hear from God. And we pray these things in your precious name and for your sake. And all of God's people said, amen. And I finished 17 minutes before 12. Yay!